The life's so short, the craft so long to learn. I came across this quote in a book called The Knitting Sutra that I picked up for a dollar at a thrift store and gave to my friend Anne Marie. The quote is by Geoffrey Chaucer, the 14th century poet. I could have called this sermon Just Do It, but it sounds so much better in Middle English, don't you think? Thomas Edison famously said, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Woody Allen coined the expression, 80% of life is showing up. The term craft connotes something more than working out or doing repetitive chores to keep the dust at bay. It also is different than a mathematician trying to crack a code or a medical researcher seeking an elusive cure. A craft is something you have a passion for, something that you may have to steal time to indulge. It involves repeated practice to hone a difficult skill. Through a confluence of practice and exploration, on the road to mastery, you are changed and changed again. That road may involve writing for Chaucer or knitting for Susan Gordon, the author of The Knitting Sutra, or in my case, learning to play guitar later in life. Similarly, it can be about deepening your spirituality, either over a lifetime or again, later in life. My grandmother was an insomniac. According to my mother, she would prop herself up in bed at night, in the middle of the night, and knit silently in the dark. I learned to knit from my mother, who learned from my grandmother. But I don't knit very often, and I can't imagine knitting in the dark without waking up to a comical mess. Knitting has just two basic stitches, knit and purl. But as with binary code, there are an endless number of ways to combine them. Some knitters like to challenge themselves with complex patterns and combinations of yarn to get the exact texture that they're after. For most knitters, that's not the point. Knitting is meditative and sensory. The clicking of the needles, the feel of the yarn through your fingers. It's also Zen. If you don't like what you're knitting, just tug on a strand of yarn and unravel the whole thing and begin again. I'm not the bucket list sort, but 2 years before turning 50, I decided I wanted to learn to play acoustic guitar instead of just wishing that I had my whole life. I had tried to play about 10 years earlier, but the steel strings hurt my fingers, and everything about it was too hard for me. This time around, I promised myself I would stick with it. First, I tried group lessons, but I had a hard time keeping up. I did learn how to play a basic 12-bar blues progression and picked up some choice advice from another student. It takes most people about 3 years to really begin to play. That thought still keeps me going whenever I feel like I'll never progress. Staying with something that I don't have a gift for has also brought me unexpected joy. As we get older, many people gravitate toward what they're good at and drop the things they're not good at. But the key is to keep a beginner's mind. For example, early in my practice, I confirmed that I had no ear whatsoever. Something I'd always known was a problem, but I didn't perceive it as a huge liability. Kind of like walking your dog and being oblivious to all the scents and related information right in front of you that you're not picking up. But for an aspiring musician, having an ear is a huge advantage. When I began to realize just how much of an ear I didn't have, I despaired. Why keep going? Do you think a third grader would have had the same reaction? Children are in constant learning mode. And luckily, there's ear training for people like me. That's not easy either, but it can be learned. At this point, I'm 4 years into taking individual lessons, which have made all the difference. Even though I have trouble playing in front of my teacher, who is half my age, and extremely accomplished. Through a combination of perfect pitch, total recall, and years of performing, he can play any piece of music after listening to it for 30 seconds or less. These days, I can strum pretty well, and I know a lot of chords, which my teacher has taught me to think of as shapes that are learned by muscle memory. The steel strings still hurt my fingers sometimes, but I'm proud of my calluses and my fingernails, which are short on the left hand for forming the chord shapes and long on the right hand for finger picking. But like so many pursuits, as soon as I learn one thing, there are six other things to learn. There are six other ways to play this chord. There is alternate tuning. There's palm muting. The most important part is just to keep practicing, especially when you don't feel like it. Actually, the most important thing is to play with other people. That may sound obvious to a musician, but I'm a writer by trade. I'm a solo craftswoman. When I picked up the guitar, I set out to play my favorite songs in my back bedroom. I've had to push myself to play with others, even when it's fun, like with UU Jammers at Catherine's Barn in 2 weeks. I've had to push myself as much as with so much of life. You can't wait until you're confident to jump in. You have to jump in to gain confidence. This brings me to spirituality. It's not a perfect analogy, but here are some of the important similarities that I see. Faith is often the starting point to a spiritual practice. In turn, it's having a spiritual practice, if not a religion, that helps you sustain your faith. Many of us just sort of go where our spiritual journey takes us. A typical arc is attending a church, mosque, temple in your faith of origin, then rejecting that faith in your teens or 20s, and maybe coming back to it or discovering another faith when you have children of your own. If you were raised by atheists, maybe you ardently embraced the faith in your youth. After experiencing a divorce, a serious illness, or death of a loved one, maybe you turned away from God, but maybe you turned toward God. Maybe you dabbled in many religions, assuming that each time you put the last one behind you, you were making progress toward enlightenment or salvation. Looking back on your journey can be like looking at old photographs of yourself in horror. I can't believe I actually wore those shoulder pads. What was I thinking? Or as Americana singer-songwriter Jason Isbell says in his song 24 Frames, you thought God was an architect. Now you know he's something like a pipe bomb ready to blow. The fourth Unitarian Universalist principle affirms a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. That suggests meandering, but also a sense of purpose. I believe spirituality can benefit from the steady practice of any number of religious traditions. I don't mean to embrace cultural relativism so much as affirm that there are universal truths we can arrive at through many paths. One last point here. Some people are able to sustain unwavering faith over their lifetimes, or from the moment they find God. More often, faith can go dormant, even if you have a strong spiritual practice. My own faith comes and goes. For writer's block and artistic blocks in general, there are books, videos, and workshops that offer exercises to help break through it. What is the equivalent for spiritual blocks or recurrent loss of faith? I think the advice is similar. Keep practicing somehow until the spark returns. Finding a community like this one has made all the difference for me. So here is my advice on how to enhance your spiritual practice. Can you guess what I'm going to say? Number one, take what you learned from your mother or grandmother and go from there. Number two, unraveling is okay. If you don't like where you're going, begin again. Number 3, find a teacher. If the first teacher doesn't suit you, find another. Number 4, practice. Especially when you don't feel like it, you will develop muscle memory. Number 5, play with others. You will grow much more quickly. Number 6, persist. Even if you can't perceive God, there is ear training for that. And number 7, keep a beginner's mind. Blessed be.
Thank you, Michelle, for inviting me up here. We've been practicing this song. And it's took a little while to get going there, but it's called Through Your Hands by John Hyatt.
You were dreaming on a park bench by the broad highway somewhere, when the music from the caravan seemed to hurl your heart out there. Past the scientific darkness, past the fireflies aflow, to an angel bending down to wrap you in her warmest coat. Don't you ask, where am I not doing? Says your voice cannot command. In time you will move mountains, and it will come through your hands.